We had a backup plan, didn't we, Brother Kevin?
We did.
Bless the Lord. Y'all might want to turn it down a little bit because I be done got excited with all this power. All right. Hallelujah. Testing. Amen. Good enough. Bless the Lord. Amen. As I was saying earlier, we've been sort of allowing God to speak to us from the gospel according to Mark. And we want to continue in Mark this morning in chapter 8. And we will begin reading at verse 1. And so if you're there in Mark chapter 8, verse 1, will you say amen?
Amen.
And we'd like for everybody to open up your Bibles and get there because we just want you to see what God has to say to you. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But it is for me, it's just so much more exciting. And God really penetrates my heart when I'm able to look at and see in his word at what the preacher is trying to say unto me. So beginning at verse one, these words are recorded. We find here the account of the feeding of the 4,000. It says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they sat, and they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. And verse 10 says, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And amen, saints. We want to talk on the subject this morning just for a little while. Meeting the needs of the people. Meeting the needs of the people. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we pause just for a moment to say thank you, Father, for such a wonderful day, Lord God. Thank you for waking us up early this morning, clothing our right minds. We thank you for the traveling mercies that you gave us out here to your house of worship and praise. And now, Father God, we sit in our tent doors waiting eagerly and anxiously for you to speak to our hearts and to our minds, for you to find us where we are and to deal with us in our circumstances and our doubts, also in our success. We pray now, Father God, for forgiveness of every soul under the sound of my weak voice, that, Lord, we may be in fellowship with you, Lord God, and that your Holy Spirit may fill us up and completely control us, O God. And then, Lord God, when it's all said and done, we give your name all the glory, the honor, and the praise that you so richly deserve. For, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. We walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray, and all the saints of God said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you all remember the last time that I was here, those of you who were in the service, we talked on the subject of modeling ministry. And there were 3 things that we said that needed to take place if we were going to model ministry, if people would look at us and become excited about wanting to be like us, and not only wanting to be like us, but wanting to participate in this great calling that God has on our lives of serving each other. Amen. And one of the first things that we said about modeling ministry was that we have been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He delivered us so that we could be a witness for him, so that we could testify to his goodness, so that he could put us on display, be an exhibit and walk around that people might see what God has done in our lives and also want to change. The second thing that we said was that we must understand the nature of the individual's handicap. And the conclusion that we came to was that if you have not been born again, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a handicap. Amen, somebody. We don't know what the handicap is, but we've got to understand the nature of the individual's handicap in order to be able to model ministry, because it is when we understand the individual's handicap that we will be patient and that we will spend quality time with the individual. The third thing that we said was, with every opportunity to minister comes a process. And we said that, hey, you don't just minister to somebody one time and expect them to change and everything be all right. But the conclusion that we came to was that it's a process. It's over a period of time that we minister to our friends, our coworkers, and our loved ones. And as we minister to them, we find that they eventually make the necessary changes in their lives. And so today we want to talk about meeting the needs of the people. How do we meet the needs of the people? It's wonderful to be able to be put on display so that people can look at us and want to be more like us. But today we're going to see a wonderful demonstration of how the people's needs not only can but will be met if we just do what God has called us to do. And so there's two things in this particular event today that we need to understand. First of all, before we go any further, we got to understand that Jesus was demonstrating his messiahship in order to drive the truth more and more deeply into the hearts and minds of his disciples, which says to us saints that before anybody else can understand who we are or what we're doing, or before we can meet their needs, we ourselves must first of all understand the realization that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that was prophesied about in the Old Testament, and he is the one who came forth, born of a woman, made under the law when the fullness of time had come, and he is the one who delivers us from our sins. It's a deep truth that must be in our hearts and in our minds. The second thing that we must realize today before we go any further is that Jesus was teaching his disciples that they themselves were to minister to the needy no matter who they were. In this event, we'll see today that he is ministering primarily, if not totally, to the Gentile nation, which says to us that the Jews hated the Gentiles because they were considered as heathens because they did not accept God and they did not know his word. So they frowned upon the Gentiles. And we find today that Jesus says that if we're going to meet the needs of this world, we've got to minister to people no matter what color they are, no matter how much money they have, no matter what their ethnical background is, no matter what mistakes they've made in their life, we've got to be willing to minister to anybody and everybody who walks through the doors of the house of God. Amen. That's something to be excited about. So in a very simple yet forceful demonstration, Jesus revealed that the whole world has three great needs. Now, we could all sit down and talk and have a debate about the different needs that we have at this time. Some may be in need of money and some may not. Some may be in need of good health and strength and some may not. Some may be in need of a bigger house and some may not. Some may be in need of more friends and some may not. We all have different needs, but there are three basic needs that everybody in the room really needs. And there's no question about it. And we find it in this particular text today of feeding the 4,000. And so look with me, first of all, the first point that I want to make that I want you to see that everybody in the world needs is in verse 1. It says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto them and saith to them. So what's the need? The first need here is a spiritual food. Everybody in the house needs spiritual food. I don't care how long you've been in Christ Jesus. I don't care if you've never accepted Christ Jesus. We are all standing in need of spiritual food. As a matter of fact, if you don't have any spiritual food, just like physical food, you will malnutrition. Can I get a witness here? You will malnutrition. If when a baby is born, that baby needs nutrition. That baby needs food. It starts off with milk, and then it goes to baby food, and then it goes to steak. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's the same thing in this thing called Christianity. We start off with a little milk because we can't handle too much word at one time. I wish I had a witness here. But as time goes along, we find ourselves not only digesting God's word, but we find ourselves studying and meditating standing on God's word for ourselves. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, over a period of time, we learn to prepare and cook for ourselves. Good God from Mount Zion. So look in verse 1. As we dissect this verse, it says, first of all, that in those days, the multitude was very great, which basically says it was an immense crowd. And the scripture says that they had nothing to eat, which says to me that when they first came out to hear Jesus teach and to hear him preach, they brought something with them because they knew it'd be a long ways back home. But after they got there, they were so mesmerized by how well he taught the word of God, and they were so convicted about the changes they needed to make in their life that they did not leave because his teaching was so great. And the Bible says not only did they stay there and listen to the word of God, but they remained with him for 3 days and didn't have any food. Now, I want to talk about the church just for a little bit. Try to invite somebody to your service and tell them they're going to be in your service for 3 days straight. You get the picture? They're going to be in your service for 3 days straight. They're not going to go home, and you're not going to feed them for 3 days. How many people do you think would show up? A few might show up, but how many do you think would stay without anything to eat? As a matter of fact, you know, in local Baptist churches, and I'm a Baptist, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm a child of God. And so therefore, what we would do is we'd have a morning service at 11 o'clock, and then we'd leave and travel to another church to minister at the other church for fellowship. And the services would start at 3 o'clock. Well, the reason why it didn't start at 3 o'clock is because, you know, after we finish our morning service at 1 o'clock, we need 2 hours so we can feed the people in between. Are y'all hearing me? So, and then if we would get to a church and they didn't have anything to eat, folk would frown and be disappointed. Oh, you mean to tell me we came all the way over here and we got a minister and they're not feeding us? Well, in this text, the Bible says that these folks sat and listened to the word of God for 3 days and didn't have anything to eat. Are you with me? And so therefore, we got to realize the scripture says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'm convinced that when your mind is stayed on the Lord and when the word gets so good to you, your missed meal cramps began to disappear. For the Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so therefore, they went without food for 3 days, and the word of the Lord was esteemed more highly than necessary food. And so Job 23:12 says, I've obeyed every word he's spoken, and not just obeyed his advice, but I've treasured it. And so the question today, saints, is in order for us to be able to meet the needs of the world, we have to provide them with spiritual food. And in order to provide them with spiritual food, we've got to be educated with the word of God. We can't prepare a meal and serve it to folks who are starving spiritually unless we learn and get to the point to where we can cook some food for folks who are starving spiritually. Are you with me? It's okay to feed folk physical food and to send them on their way, but they can go away full and still die and end up in H-E-L-L. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And then I want you to see the second thing. The second thing I want you to see here, the second need that everybody in this world has is the need for compassion. Everybody needs compassion. Everybody needs spiritual food, and everybody needs compassion. Look with me in verses 2-8. And as I deal with compassion, I need you to bear with me because there's several points I want to make about compassion that will help us to be better children of God. In verse 2 and in verse 3, we find that that compassion involves seeing the needs that people have. It involves seeing the needs. In other words, once you see the needs, you don't turn your back on folk that have the needs. Am I preaching to somebody in here? You see, the disciples needed to have compassion for the people because the disciples looked upon many of these people as outcasts. They were Gentiles and they were aliens from God's chosen race. So the point that I'm making is that because of who the people were, the disciples that Jesus had selected would not have been so quick to meet their needs. As a matter of fact, you may know what I'm talking about, saints. Has anybody ever done you wrong? Don't call any names. But has anybody ever done you wrong in your life? and you know they did you wrong. You know that it was their intention to do you wrong. And then all of a sudden, they have a need and you can help them, but you decide, I'm not going to do it. I wish I had a witness. All I'm saying, saints, is that's not the right attitude, and you can never meet people's needs if you respond that way. So compassion, first of all, involves seeing the needs of the people. Look in verse 2. Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude, and then he says, I'm going to tell you why I have compassion on them. He said, because they have now been with me 3 days, and they don't have anything to eat. And then he says in verse 3, he says, and also if I send them away to their own house, he said, they will faint by the wayside. He says, for divers of them came from afar. And what he's really saying is this. He says, first of all, I got compassion on them because they've been with me for 3 days. And Jesus, I want to listen to me, saints. It is not easy to travel with Jesus for 3 days anywhere. Because when you travel with Jesus for 3 days, he's stopping, he's talking to people, he's healing people, he's ministering to people, he's out in the sunshine, he's out in desert remote places. When it's cold at night, he'll lay his head on a rock, he'll go to sleep in the back of a ship, and every now and then a storm will come up and will scare you half to death. Just think about what it would be like to walk with Jesus for just 3 days. See, it's not like the church today. See, you can travel with the church today and have yourself a grand old time. But if you travel with Jesus, you would find yourself in some desert remote places. It was a difficult ministry. So they had been with him for 3 days and now they ain't got nothing to eat. And Jesus said, because they have nothing to eat, I need to have compassion on them. Now here's what he could have said. He could have said, well, y'all knew you were coming out here. You know I got a tough ministry. You should have brought something to eat. You should have prepared for the ministry. But he doesn't do that. He says the most important thing is, there's something you need, you don't have it, and I got it, and I'm gonna give it to you. What an amazing Lord we serve. What an amazing Lord. And then he also realized that if I send the people away, they will try to make it home, but because they haven't had any food, they will fall by the wayside. And I want you to know, saints, that you can get in your car, drive all the way out to God's house, sit in his service, hear the word of God, not take heed to it, 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 get in your car and faint by the wayside. Good God, from Mount Zion. I'm telling you, I'm talking spiritually here now. If we don't eat the meal that God has prepared for us spiritually, we'll find ourselves weak when we get out in the world and we'll faint by the wayside. In this thing called compassion, compassion involves the use of resources. It's in verse 4 and 5. Look with me. It says, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And it says, and he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, Jesus, we got 7 loaves. So here, compassion involves the use of resources. Listen to me, saints. In verse 4, we realize that the place was a wilderness beyond reach. In other words, there are many here at the campgrounds ministering who may feel that this is a wilderness. It's in the middle of nowhere, and there's no way we can meet the needs of the people. But I stopped by to tell you today that it is in desert remote places where God wants to take his ministry, because that is the place where you will find some people who are sick and tired of crazy stuff going on in the fancy brick buildings, and they've come out here because they're looking for the one and true living Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand that the resources were too meager. Look in verse 5. Verse 5, they said, hey, we ain't got but 7 loaves. In other words, they were saying to Jesus, there's too many people and we don't have enough food. But the thing that they failed to realize is that when you have signed on to be a soldier in Jesus' army, that you've got to realize that he is a doctor who's never lost a patient. Come on, somebody. He's a lawyer that's never lost a case. He can do all things but fail. And so they thought that they did not have enough resources. But how many of you in here are crazy enough to know that if you take the little bit you got and put it in the hands of the Lord Jesus and watch him multiply the little bit that you have?
And then also they thought that the multitude and the needs were too great. There's too many people. It's in verse 1 and verse 9. There were 4,000 of them. But the thing we got to understand is all we got to do is take the little bit of resources that we have and pull those resources and then allow the Lord Jesus Christ to touch it and bless it and watch a little bit of resources meet a large need. I'm right about this thing. And then thirdly, I want you to see under compassion is that compassion involves orderly arrangements. Look in verse 6. Verse 6 says, he commanded the people, sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves. He gave thanks. He broke, and he gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. Now, again, compassion involves orderly arrangement. You will never be able to meet the needs of the people when there's chaos in the church. You can never meet the needs of the people when everybody's running here and there and nobody knows what they're doing. But when people come into God's house, we've got to be able to direct them in the right place where they need to go. And we ourselves need to have ourselves on one accord and to be serving though we are many, but as one, because the main focus is to meet the needs of the people. And so Jesus said, first thing is this, we will have chaos if we don't take control and do things in decency and in order. Yes. Yes. Saints, I can't tell you how many people have been lost due to churches not doing things in decency and in order. Amen. And so compassion involves orderly arrangement. Instead of 4,000 people running and trying to get to the food all at the same time and people pushing and shoving, the thing that the Lord wants us to realize is that when it comes to Christianity and eating spiritual food and getting what you need in life, you don't ever have to push and shove because there is more than enough for all of us. We don't have to push and shove to get positions in the church. There's enough positions to match up with our spiritual gifts that God has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, compassion involves orderly arrangement. Look with me in verse, also still in verse 6, but also verse 7 we're going to add. Compassion involves giving thankfulness to God. It involves giving thankfulness to God. Back in verse 6, it talks about he took the 7 loaves. And what did Jesus do? He gave thanks. Now here, I began to think about this and I said, wait a minute. Jesus, the bread of life himself, takes bread, lifts it up to heaven, breaks it, and gives thanks to God. Somebody ain't got it yet. Jesus himself, he said, I am the bread of life. And the bread of life breaks bread, holds it up to heaven, and gives thanks to God. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is, if Jesus being the bread himself would break bread himself and give thanks to God, then you know every time he does something for us, we ought to say, thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody, give him a hand clap of praise. Not only did he give thanks, but the Bible says he gave to his disciples, again, orderliness to set it before the people, and then they did eat them before the people. And verse 7 says they had a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before the people. And so what he did was he took the bread, he gave thanks, he spread it out to the people, they held on to their bread, and then he took the fish, and he blessed the fish. He spoke well about how good God is and all that he can do. He spread the fish out, and then the people ate their meals. Lord have mercy. You ever sit down at your dinner table, and all the food is not quite on the table, and the kids sit down, and they want to start eating this, that, and the other before everything else is put on the table, and you said to them, not yet. Everything isn't ready. And so what we try to do is wait till everything's on the table. Everybody's at the table, and then now let's say grace. That's orderliness, and God loves that. Amen? Hallelujah. And we ought to have orderliness in God's house.
especially when it comes to the preaching of the word of God. We should not have 15, 20 people up walking all around during the service while God is trying to serve food to the people. Can I get a witness here? Hallelujah. Now, there are times when people need to move around in the service, and God understands that. But 15, 20 people just walking around having sidebar conversations while God is trying to minister to the people, it's a distraction and it's not orderliness. And so we find that compassion involves giving thankfulness to God. You got to see, the disciples gave, what the disciples gave was small. It was just 7 loaves and it was just a few small fish, but yet it met a great need. And oftentimes we find ourselves saying in God's house, well, how in the world are we going to meet the needs of all these people on this campground when we're just a few people? I stop by to tell you that all the way throughout scripture, God loves to take a few and multiply it into a huge blessing, because he's a miracle worker and he wants to get the glory when the breakthrough comes. Because if you got thousands of people and you release them onto this campground to minister, it's easy to try to reach everybody. But when you ain't got but 15 or 20 faithful people and you release them onto these campgrounds and folks start to come out of the woods out into the light, you see, y'all done missed it. You see, God has placed us at this roadside, and he says, you thought the ministry was mainly inside the campgrounds where you had to have your worship service, but God said, let's take the worship service out of where the people are and give them a reason to come outside the campgrounds. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't miss it, saints. Don't miss it. Because you see, the people who come outside of those gates are the people who really want the word of God. They're the ones who really want the word of God. Also, I want you to see something in verse 8. Look with me in verse 8. I'm just about finished. In verse 8, it says, so they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. I want you to see also that under compassion, it involves saving whatever resource is left over. Saving whatever resources is left over. In other words, what that says is this. It's okay to save resources in the ministry, but only after the needs have been met. Come on, somebody. That's a shouting point. That's a shouting point, because God says, if you want to save, he says, that's wonderful, but don't save until the needs have been met. And so we talk about the fact that, hey, it says in verse 8 that 7 baskets was left. Now, in the feeding of the 5,000, it talked about some baskets being left over there, didn't it? Yes. But the difference between the baskets that were left over in the feeding of the 5,000 is that the baskets over there were little small wicker baskets, sort of like your, you know, like your little offering plate. But these baskets here were clothes hampers. These baskets were clothes hampers. In other words, the leftovers in these baskets were big enough to fit a whole person down on the inside of it. And when you look at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, that miracle was to the Jewish folks. Come on, somebody. And there were more of them, and there was only a little bit left over. But here we find that there's more left over with the Gentiles, which says to us, we got more work to do with the Gentiles than we do with the Jews. There's more work to do. And let me tell you something. Anytime that God allows something to be left over is because he's saying there's somebody else coming to get it. Come on, somebody. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you've got any resources in your ministry, it's because God has given us those resources because somebody is in need of them. Somebody is in need of a word this morning. And I stop by to tell you that on a Sunday, when it might be a few people, the fact that he blessed you with speakers and an intercom system and with Bibles and with song books and with a few people who are going to be faithful, he says unto you, there's somebody that needs what you got. And if you just keep being faithful, or sooner or later, they're going to show up to get what you got for them. Compassion. There's got to be a need for compassion. Everybody needs compassion in this world. And thirdly, I'm about to take my seat. Look in verse 9. Verse 9 says, and they that had eaten were about 4,000. And here's the kicker verse. What does the end of verse 9 say? He sent them away. He sent them away. He sent them away. Watch this.
They've been with Jesus. First of all, how did they get with Jesus? It's because this is Gentile area. This is the same area in Mark chapter 5 when there was a man who was demon possessed. And after Jesus cast the demon out of him and into the swine, and the swine went down into the water and drowned themselves, and the people had a pork bacon business going on over there. Can I get a witness here? Come on, somebody. They were selling pork chops and all that stuff. They had a pig business. And so therefore, when all their meat market was hit and was destroyed, it damaged them financially. And so the people came out to Jesus at the end of chapter 5 and said, get out of here. We don't want you to stay here. So Jesus left, but he left one person whose life he had changed from the inside out. And now the Bible says that there are a multitude of people who are willing to sit with Jesus for 3 days with nothing to eat physically because one man has ministered to a whole multitude of people. And if one man who was demon possessed could minister to a multitude of people and get them to sit down with Jesus for 3 days, I stop by to tell you, what's wrong with the church today? Come on, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise. You see, I want you to understand that the last thing I'm trying to teach you is that everybody stands in need of evangelism. And so therefore, there are people who are lost and they need somebody to come to them, because Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. You see, Jesus found us where we were. Think about it. It'll come back to you. You didn't go looking for a church. Jesus found us in our mess. He delivered us in our mess. And then we decided we wanted to come out to the house of God, and he kept on blessing us. And so the last thing he's saying to us is the world needs evangelism, which means that we got to go out to this sin sick world. We got to pray for them. We got to encourage them. We got to minister to them. We got to pray for them. We got to encourage them. We got to minister to them. It's a process. We got to pray for them. We got to minister to them. We got to encourage them. We got to have compassion on them. We got to meet their needs. We got to give them spiritual food. And when we've done those things, we'll find that folk will begin to get saved and come into the house of God. So get yourself prepared so you can give folks some spiritual food. It's nice to bake a cake for them when they move into your neighborhood, but that cake ain't gonna last but so long. You got to give them some spiritual food. That's what their main need is spiritual food. Come on, somebody. We've got to have compassion on them. They're gonna act crazy for a long time, and just because you tell them that Jesus lives don't mean they're gonna change overnight. You got to have compassion on them. Am I right about it? You got to be willing to use your resources, not just everybody else's. You got to do things in decency and order. You got to give thanks to God always for everything that you have and everything that you give to somebody else. You've got to use whatever resources is left, and you got to stockpile it for somebody else because they're on their way. And then you got to evangelize. You got to go out. The real work is not inside this building, but the real work is on the campgrounds. The real work is in the community. The real work is in those office buildings. The real work is in that building there. The real work is at the gymnasium and at the pool and in those trailers and in those cabins and in those trucks that are driving up and down here. That's where the real work is. It is time for evangelism. We can ill afford to keep waiting for folk to come through those doors. We got to start going inside. Come on, somebody. We got to start going inside and ministering to the people and meet them where they are. Yes. 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 Give him a hand clap of praise.
Yes. It's time to meet the people where they are. It's time to meet them where they are. Don't miss it, saints.